Welcome to a bonus episode of LSHDM Viral. My name is Naomi. Questions around vaccines are a common part of modern discourse, but how can we tell how much the public trusts vaccines, especially in a COVID world? Today, I am speaking with Heidi Larson, who has led on a major report on vaccine confidence worldwide, published this week. This monumental publication reveals which countries are the most and least confident in vaccines and changes in this level of confidence over the past 5 years. This information is crucial ahead of the potential development of a vaccine for COVID-19. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you.
You're the director of the Vaccine Confidence Project here at LSHTM. First, can you tell us what is vaccine confidence and how important is it?
Well, vaccine confidence, from the perspective of the Vaccine Confidence Project, is on the confidence of not only the vaccine itself. We talk about the product, the provider, and the policymaker, politician, because there are many levels of confidence that influence whether or not someone decides to take a vaccine. So it's that whole spectrum of confidence in the product, the person who gives you the vaccine, and the systems that create the policies to give them to you.
As part of this project, and with this report, you've led the largest global survey of vaccine confidence last undertaken in 2015. What did this process involve, and what have you found? And also, how have things changed in the past 5 years?
We founded the Vaccine Confidence Project 10 years ago, and initially we were doing primarily social media monitoring to pick up changes in public sentiment or to pick up disruptions. But we realized that we needed additionally a more representative sense of what people were thinking, and we got more depth and conversations from social media, but the complement of the two. And so we developed what we call the Vaccine Confidence Index, which was launched in 2015. The study that's coming out this week is a selection of 250,000 of the people surveyed over 149 countries over those 5 years. Some of the countries we have multiple waves of surveys. In other countries we have just two, but it does give us an opportunity to compare change over time. And in the current vaccine confidence environment, perceptions about vaccines are much more volatile than they used to be. And that's one change we've seen 10, 20 years ago. They were much more stable. It would be pretty much the same people who might not want to have a vaccine, and it would be largely religious groups or others that had an alternative sense. Now it's quite a mix of libertarian, you know, I have a right to choose, similar to joining up right now in the context of COVID with the protests on masks, for instance. And then there's people concerned about safety. And so there's confidence in the safety. And does it work? So the questions that we ask in the index that are reflected in the study are confidence in the importance of vaccines, confidence in their safety, confidence in their effectiveness, do they work, and confidence in the sense that it's compatible with your religious or other beliefs. Those are the four domains. What's interesting is that we see that among some countries, and this is for a spectrum of strongly agree to strongly disagree for each of those questions, there's more polarization of sentiment. Not everywhere, but in a number of countries. More people are going to strongly disagree or strongly agree rather than tend to agree, tend to disagree. That's one point. Another is some countries have gone up and some countries have gone down in confidence. So this is not a trajectory where we see, oh, the world is all getting down on vaccines. That's not true at all. We see some countries getting more positive, other countries, their confidence is dropping. So it's highly variable.
So the report looks at the national level of confidence in vaccines. Were you able to find answers or patterns as to why certain countries had stronger or weaker confidence in vaccines?
One of the things we have done in this study, our Vaccine Confidence Index was used by the Wellcome Trust in their 144th country study, the Global Monitor, in 2018. In addition to the confidence in vaccine questions, they had a lot of other questions on different domains of trust. We also have demographic data on all of our surveys. We are looking at some of the correlations with other determinants, but usually there's an event that provokes a change. For instance, in the Philippines, there was a new risk reported around a new dengue vaccine 1 year into the program. And that created public outrage. It became a very politicized debate because the launch of this new vaccine was on the heels of a political presidential election. They had a dramatic drop in their vaccine confidence. And they've slowly been increasing. They've used our confidence index as they've worked to rebuild public confidence. But the same vaccine was launched and same risk announced for Brazil that did not have such a dramatic reaction and carried on with their program. So the political context can really matter. We've also seen situations where there's long-term anxieties about a particular vaccine. In Japan, the HPV vaccine, there were some reported reactions that were assessed as being psychosomatic. Not that that doesn't mean it needs attention, but not enough to stop the program. But the government is not proactively recommending the HPV vaccine, going on 8 years now, and vaccine acceptance has dropped from over 75% to under 1%. And you can see that underlying discontent reflected in their national confidence in vaccines. Poland has had a drop in confidence, and there we've seen the emergence of a very strong, highly organized anti-vaccine movement that has also had a ripple effect on Polish communities and other countries because there's a language diaspora on social media. The UK and France and a few other European countries have actually gone up in their confidence around vaccines. France remains one of the least confident, most skeptical in the world, but compared to where they were in 2015, they've really made a tremendous effort as a government, as a country, to address what they did recognize, and especially when they saw they were the most hesitant in the world in our 2015 study. And one of the values of the confidence index is giving the ability to measure change over time.
That's really interesting. So I wonder, how long do you think the impact of a certain government or political stance in a country has on vaccine confidence? After a government leaves, do you see rebounds or declines in confidence depending who comes afterwards? And how strong is that influence?
Well, it depends how strongly the public gets fired up about an issue. Because a leader can, or a particular government, can seed anxieties and then move on to other things. But the public holds on to those anxieties and then starts going online and they find other people with shared anxieties. So a leader can move on having instilled worries about one or another vaccine, or a government makes a change in policy, which actually worries the public, and they hold on to that. So these things can certainly persist after a government changes, and the change in government can also mean that, as in the Philippines, the new government in power goes against a previous vaccine introduced because it was introduced by the previous government. So you have all these political dynamics, and what's challenging for public health is that an immunization programs is some of these influences on people's perceptions of vaccines are outside of the health program. I think the implications for immunization programs, particularly as we anticipate the introduction of a COVID vaccine, we absolutely need other players, other entities well beyond the health program or immunization program to be engaged with sharing the information and engaging publics around a vaccine. We need schools, we need businesses, transportation industry, other kind of factories, schools, daycare, the usual education and health institutions. It's a new dynamic when we apply the findings of the confidence global study to anticipating a new COVID vaccine. This will be hopefully a tremendous asset in the thinking and planning.
And so this report is very timely in light of COVID-19, and you've touched on it lightly. But I want to explore a bit more. The success of a COVID-19 vaccine isn't just about finding one that works. So can you walk me through what would lead to the successful implementation of a COVID-19 vaccine program?
in terms of getting the public engaged, we really need to get proactive now. There's a lot we're already picking up on our social media listening, as well as some of our survey work, that there's a lot of anxiety about the speed of the vaccine development, producers and scientists wanting to be, and politicians wanting to be first. But the public is not really keen on speedy. They're more keen on thoroughness, effectiveness, and safety. I think we need to explain much better why things are moving faster. And part of that is because we have new technologies. We have new opportunities that some of the older vaccines took longer because the technologies and the platforms they were developed on take longer. So we're not shortcutting an old system. We have new systems and new opportunities and new technologies that allow things to move faster. So I think preparing the public, the allocation of the vaccine, and decisions about who gets it first, because we absolutely won't have enough upfront for everybody that needs it. It'll have to be allocated in a prioritized way. So I think another place that we need to be clear and transparent with the public is, what are the decision processes? What's the criteria for deciding who will get these vaccines first? Presumably, it would start with healthcare providers, frontline responders, and then you move into at-risk groups. But the public wants to know, well, how do the government decide? What was their criteria? Supply will be another issue. Who gets enough? Are people ready? Are the healthcare providers ready? I think they need to be engaged. And there's going to need to be a lot of support at many levels. As I mentioned before, this should be well beyond the healthcare system. Any kind of workplace which involves gathering of people, religious leaders. We can get religious leaders involved. For instance, the Hajj pilgrimage this year was not held because of the concern about the great gathering of people, aside from just churches having been closed or other places of worship. So anywhere where there's a gathering of people should have an interest in trying to encourage people to be vaccinated, because it will be quite a liberating thing to allow people to get back to whatever the new normal is, but closer to way of interacting, working, going to school, traveling.
Heidi, how hopeful are you for a COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, I never want to give up hope, that's for sure. I think we have a very good chance of a COVID vaccine coming along that's effective and safe. Not clear yet how effective a vaccine will be. And also, we don't know, you know, some are anticipating they might need 2 doses, others 1 dose. So those kinds of things also we're waiting for. But I'm pretty positively hopeful that certainly by the beginning of next year, some aspire before, but I would say certainly by early next year, there should be some safe and effective ones available. And I think we're all keen to find out not just which one, but how safe and how effective.
And of course, while COVID is on everyone's mind, these results aren't just important for this current pandemic. There are many more vaccine-preventable diseases ongoing worldwide. With the fluctuations and changes in confidence your report reveals, how do we get across the message that vaccines work? And what can we learn on how to optimize vaccine uptake?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important is to recognize the volatility of public sentiment, and that we can never rest a moment in terms of our engagement and our education. You don't do one promotion campaign and think you get everyone on board until you get your next round of vaccination. We need to be constantly engaging, constantly listening. I've just come out with a new book called Stuck: How Rumors Start and Why They Don't Go Away. In there, I talk about how volatile sentiment has become and why we do need to keep engaged, because one of the big anxieties of the public is that they don't feel like they're part of these decisions. So I think the more we can bring in dialogue as we move forward will be really important. We also lost a lot of ground in COVID of basic childhood vaccines. Either the clinic was closed because of COVID, or they had personal concerns of infection. So we have to catch up on that. If we do and deliver and engage around the COVID vaccine, it's a huge opportunity to rebuild trust and confidence.
So, Heidi, ultimately, what is the key takeaway message from this report on global vaccine confidence?
The key takeaway message is that overall, the good news is there is a lot of confidence in the world about vaccine, but don't take it for granted. Confidence goes up and down, and it can take an event, it can take a breakdown in trust, it can take hearing from a neighbor about a concern, but don't take public confidence for granted and engage with others, but also recognize that this is highly variable depending on where you live.
Thank you, Heidi. And thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode, and we'll be coming back in October with a brand new season of LSHTM Viral, focused on climate change and planetary health. Until then, stay safe and informed.